I want you to think with me a moment about the motherhood of God. The motherhood of God. In this era of gender studies and moreover, in this climate of gender confusion, in the culture writ large, gender confusion in our body politic, among our young people, and now, sadly, in the church, it becomes me from the outset of this message to must needs strike this disclaimer. I start this message with this disclaimer. There is no androgyny in God's person, in God's character, in God's nature, nor in God's attributes, to make the claim that we may infer or confer the assignation that God may be referred to as he or she. God the Father must never be referred to as mother. That is an affront born of ignorance that is perilously close to blasphemy. However, the closest thing we have on earth to the love of God is the love of a mother. And even that in its best and rarest form is only a mirror, a faint reflection. Mother's Day holds a special place in our hearts as it provides us with a designated time to express our love and gratitude to the incredible women who have nurtured and cared for us as those sent to us to give us birth from God. For most of us, it is a day of gifts and flowers and brunch and family, while many others of us long for the touch of a vanished hand. Many of us listen for the sound of a voice that is now stilled. Nevertheless, all of us pause and recognize the selflessness, sacrifices, and unwavering love that mothers have consistently bestowed upon us, whether they are alive or sleeping in their grave. Throughout the Bible, we witness countless examples of mothers displaying unwavering faith, resilience and tenderness, mirroring the qualities of our Heavenly Father. Women like Jochebed, who was the mother of Moses. Women like Hannah, the mother of Samuel. Or a woman like Elizabeth, who in her old age gave birth to John the Baptist, or Mary, the mother of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, these remarkable women are examples, each of them are examples, and that of our own mother who sleeps or is alive with us today. We celebrate and honor the remarkable gift of mothers, recognizing that these vessels through which God's love has been made manifest points us to a larger love that a mother, our father, earthly, could never have. In our text, Israel has been severely punished by God for their sins of idolatry. Her cities have been ransacked. The temple has been ruined. And the people have been led away as captives. In chapter 49 of Isaiah, God promises to turn the captivity of his people, to bring them home and to nurture them and to call them again to be his children. And when God makes this announcement, he says that all nature, all creation ought to rejoice. Heavens ought to rejoice. The mountains ought to rejoice. Everything that God creates in verse 13, God says, everything ought to clap your hands. Everything ought to open your mouth. Everything ought to raise hands and give thanks to God, because God is about to turn it around. But then in verse 14 of that same chapter, the people of Israel can't believe it. They said, Zion says, the Lord has forsaken us. The Lord has forgotten us. In Israel's mind, they had been abandoned and ignored by the Lord. Their notion had been that God had turned his back on them. Their nation had been destroyed. Their capital, Jerusalem, lays in ruins. The temple has been utterly demolished. And they themselves were a laughingstock. They were a proverb. They were a byword in history. They were a broken people, because the God who brought them seems to be the God who has abandoned them. But God speaks to them in these verses and lets them know that he has not forsaken them. He has not abandoned them. Brothers and sisters, even the strongest faithful in this church this morning, even the strongest faithful listening to us online this morning, may not ever verbalize it. You may not ever acknowledge it because it is lodged deep in your spirit. But there have been times in your life and in mine when we feel abandoned and forgotten by God. Our old slave ancestors had this angst when they said, I am a poor pilgrim of sorrow, cast out in this world to roam. No hope have I for tomorrow. I'm trying to make heaven my home. Sometimes I'm tossed and driven, and sometimes I don't know which way to roam, but I've heard of a city called heaven, and I've decided to make it my home. These verses are designed to teach us that in God's heart, we are unforgettable. There are some people you were raised with that you got to scratch your head to remember their names when you see them again. Because time has passed and their memory has been erased. And when you see them, you are hoping that you can just say hi and keep walking. People come up to me all the time and said, what's my name? And I say, honey, I'm trying to remember what I had for breakfast this morning. You'll understand it better by and by. Memories fade. There are people you used to date and you went to the prom with in high school and you signed their yearbook, yours forever. 10 years later, you said, thank you, Jesus. I've been delivered. Memories fade. People come in our lives and go out of our lives. Circumstances and situations happen in our lives, and sometimes it looks like God is not listening to us pray. I need somebody here who can help me testify that you've had some dry spells, some arid, dark seasons in your prayer life when you've looked for God to the right and God was not there. You look for God in your situation and God seemed not to even care about what was going on in your life, but you may not see him. But the testimony this morning is he sees you. Where can I go from your spirit? I wish I had a Bible reader. Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the earth, even there shall your hand hold me. God has not forgotten you. You might be in the house by yourself, but you're not alone. I ought to have 8 or 9 witnesses in here who just start shouting by yourself. Nobody in the room but you. Nobody in the car but you. And you start thinking about how good God has been. And then you thought about the times when it seemed that God was far off. And there were days when you couldn't see him. But let me give you a hint to shout here. Look at your side passenger mirror, and on the bottom of that side passenger mirror is a writing that says, objects are larger than they appear. God may look like he's far away, but he's larger than he appears, because the wreck you could have had, God let you go around another way. The devil that could have destroyed you, it was God that got in the way and blocked that weapon that was formed against you. Is there anybody here that can help me testify? No weapon. I want to help somebody. I want to help somebody before I get to the meat of this little message. I'm going to be through in a minute. It's about to rain and you want to take your mama out to brunch and all of that. My mama not here. We're going to be here till 3:30. Let me help somebody here who's kind of timid about shouting. You too cool to shout. You too reserved to give God glory. In 2 Kings, Elisha died. And they buried his body in a tomb. And while they were burying him, another young man died. Watch this. And they were going to the tomb to bury him. And since Elisha's tomb was already open, they put the dead young man in Elisha's tomb. Read it in 2 Kings chapter 12. And when they put that dead young man in the old man Elisha's tomb, he came back to life again. If you dead this morning, you need to sit by somebody who's on fire for the Lord. You need to sit by somebody who knows God is a deliverer, and God is a keeper, and God is a provider. And if you can't shout, just touch them, and they will get you hot and excited, and you will recognize that the same God who brought them. I don't know how you can think about God's goodness and not open your mouth. I don't know how you can think about God's grace. You got a job tomorrow, not because you're so smart. It's people smarter than you that's unemployed. God provided for you. Let me hurry. Like a mother, a mirror. A mother is a mirror, a reflection, a faint reflection of what God's love is. What a mother is, God is infinitely. But the closest thing we have on earth to it is the love of a mother. My father prayed for us. He would call every one of our names and tell God where we lived, as if God did not know our address. But he called every one of our names and tell God where we lived. And then my mother, when she got too old to get on her knees, would sit on the side of the bed and rub her knees praying, God, if I'm not around, let somebody's heart be tender towards my children. If I'm not here, let somebody be kind towards my children. And every time somebody shows me a kindness, my mother's face comes in my mind because she prayed for me. I'm a Christian today because somebody prayed for me. I'm in the house of God this morning because somebody prayed for me. I'm glad my mama didn't abort me. I'm glad she didn't get rid of me. I'm glad she didn't leave me out there by myself. I'm glad she taught me how to say yes, ma'am. I'm glad she taught me manners and respect for my elders. I'm glad she made me go to church. I'm glad she made me read the Bible. I'm preaching the Bible today because somebody prayed for me. If I could hear my mother pray again, if I could hear her tender voice as then, how happy I would be. It would mean so much to me if I could hear my mother pray again. She used to pray that I on Jesus would rely and always walk the shining gospel way. Still trusting in the Lord and according to his word, I'll see my loving mother some sweet day. But in the meantime, I've got somebody who loves me more than my mother ever could. Somebody who loves me more than my father ever could. And here is how my mother wished she could love me the way God loved me. God's love is unconditional. Unconditional. I didn't have to do anything for God to love me. Somebody should have shouted right there. I didn't have to know anything for God to love me. I didn't have to have anything for God to love me. I didn't have to be anything for God to love me. God just loved me. He formed me in my mother's womb. And I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Before I was born, he knew my inward part. Somebody ought to help me preach it. And everybody in this church today, everybody in the world today, God let you be born to fulfill a divine purpose. And you know what your purpose is? To glorify God. You glorify God by being a school teacher. You glorify God by picking up trash. You glorify God by cutting grass. You glorify God by just being a housewife. You glorify God by being a bank teller. You glorify God by stocking groceries at HEB. You glorify God by working at the post office. You glorify God by being an accountant, a doctor, a lawyer. Whatever your chosen profession, do it to the glory of God, and then come back to church on Sunday and thank God you could do it in the first place. Because he loves you unconditionally. There's no restriction.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
you. You don't have to be 6'3". Tall, dark, and handsome. You don't have to work. You don't have to have a job. You don't have to be cute. You don't have to be pretty. You don't have to be intelligent. You don't need a PhD. God just loves you for you. Unconditionally.
Thank you. Thank you.
You don't have to be good, then be saved. Because there's none righteous. No, not one. The same Isaiah said that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Everything we try to do is tainted by sin because we put our hands on it. God just accepts it through the blood of Jesus, and we don't come to God bringing anything that God accepts. We come because we are accepted in the beloved. God loves me unconditionally. But not only that, God loves me sacrificially. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We are sinners born from our mother's womb. I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. All I know how to do is sin. I don't care how pretty that little baby is you have in your arms right now. He's a crook. She's a liar from the beginning. Somebody ought to help me preach here this morning. Because before they can speak, they can lie. Before they can talk, they can dance. Before they know anything about any moral clarity, they will steal something and put it behind their back. Nobody taught them how to do that. They are just no good from the beginning because they got it from their mama. No, they got it from their no good daddy. We need to hear this morning, brothers and sisters. There's nothing you can bring to God to win his favor. Before my parents met each other, God had already decided to redeem me. And so before I accepted his finished work on the cross, he had already accomplished it. Because Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So before I even sinned, God had already provided a remedy. And so this morning I give God glory. Because the sacrifice needed to save me from my sins, he took care of it on the cross. And so that's why I get up every Sunday morning. No, I get up every Monday morning, every Tuesday morning, every Wednesday morning, every Thursday morning, every Friday morning, every Saturday morning, but especially on Sunday morning, I get up and come to the house that God has designated to meet his people to tell God publicly, because I've already told him privately, thank you for your blood. Thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you for the lamb that went to the cross and died in my place. And I come here on purpose this morning to shout and give you thanks and praise because you delivered me from the bonds of sin and death. Now, if you're not glad about that, you go right back to sleep. I'm not talking to you. This gospel can't reach you if the blood of Jesus cannot turn your head and make you realize how good God is. I can preach till tomorrow morning. It's not going to make any difference to you. But to those of us that the blood works for, and to those of us who know that the blood still works, we know that his love was unconditional. His love for us is sacrificial. But finally, brothers and sisters, his love for us is everlasting. The scripture says, can a woman forget her nursing child? Can she forget the child that is born of her womb? That same verse says, she may forget, but I will never forget. You're going to help me close this, won't you? You remember Andrea Yates over in Fringewood a few years ago, lost her mind and drowned all five of her children. Mentally, she forgot. This young woman named Susan Smith wanted to have a relationship with another man and drowned her two sons in the back seat of her car. Criminally, she forgot. Andrea Yates forgot insanely. Susan Smith forgot criminally. But your mother may have had dementia. And she did not know you. But you knew her. You remembered her sacrifice. And although she forgot mentally, God never forgets. My mother is gone. And the love she had for me lives in my heart, but she's sleeping in her grave. She's no longer with me physically, and I cannot know her love. I cannot know the touch of her hand. I cannot hear the sound of her voice, but I got somebody who loves me more than my mother ever could. You're gonna help me close this, won't you? I got somebody who loves me so much that while I was yet in my sins, he came and died for me. I wish I had one or two more businesses. He came and died in my place. The just for the unjust. The righteous for the unrighteous. And so I come here this morning on this day that we celebrate those who gave us birth to thank God for somebody else who gave us birth. My mother gave me physical birth. But one day down in Eunice, somebody else gave me a spiritual birth. Everybody here who's alive had to be born at least one time. But if you're going to see God's face, you've got to be born again. And the only way to be born again, you've got to be born of the water and born of the Spirit. God has to live in your heart. God has to take up residence in your spirit. And if God has taken up residence in your spirit this morning, don't let anybody embarrass you about giving God thanks. Don't let anybody shame you about raising your hands. Don't let anybody make you feel bad about giving God glory. If God has been good to you, If you know that you've been born again, if you know that when this life is over, you're going to see God's face. If you know God has rescued you from the depths of a burning hell, if you know God has made you alive by His Holy Spirit, don't act like you don't know who it was that kept you. Don't act like you don't know who it was that brought you. It's nobody but Jesus who woke you up this morning, gave you the activity of your limbs. You ought to shout because nobody had to dress you. Nobody had to feed you. Nobody had to tell you where you were this morning. God woke you in your right mind. And you came up to His house this morning. And since you're in the house this morning, you might as well tell God thank you. Here are one or two things I just expect to see when I go one or two places. When I go to French's, I expect to see fried chicken. When I go to McDonald's, I expect to see a quarter pounder with cheese. When I go to Ross or Neiman Marcus, I expect to see clothes hanging on a rack. When I go to Mercedes Greenway, I expect to see cars on the lot. When I come to church, I expect to see people who have been energized, baptized in the Holy Spirit, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Know you've been redeemed. Know God has changed you. Know God has made a way for you. God has been a mother for you. God has been a doctor for you. God has paid your bills for you. When you were down, God picked you up. When you were sick, God healed you. And since God's been good to you, now is the time. This is the place to tell God thank you. Thank you for all you've done for me. Thank you, you were born in Bethlehem. Thank you, you were baptized in the Jordan. Thank you, you died one Friday. Thank you that early one Sunday morning you got up from the grave. Thank you that you're living in me. Thank you, I can wave my hands and let everybody know. If it had not been, 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 I know He's all right. Thank God. Thank God for a loving mother. Thank God for a praying father. But more than that, I thank God for a loving Jesus. Jesus, He died for me. He died for you. Why don't you tell Him thank you? You don't need me to tell you to do that. Why don't you give Him glory now? You don't need me to orchestrate your praise. You don't need me to manage your hallelujah. You know what God has done for you. You know how God has kept you. You know how God has never left you. Tell Him thank you that you didn't forsake me. Thank you that you never forgot me. Thank you that one day you're coming back for me. Do you know Him? Have you tried Him? Say yes. Yes. He's all right. Thank you. Thank you for the song. Thank you. And then God said, to make sure I won't forget you. Read it. It's in verse 16. I've engraved you. I have tattooed your names in the palm of my hand. That way, he can't get my blessing mixed up with yours. And he can't get your situation mixed up with his. Because God has engraved you. And the walls of your life, the circumscriptions of your life, the lines of your life have fallen to you in pleasant places because God knows your name.